I'm going to share with you from Genesis chapter 39. If you have your Bible, you can just take out your Bible, and then we can all get started. So, okay, first of all, let me thank Kenneth, just back here, for the wonderful worship. I really enjoy that, and it's great to be able to worship with our brother and sister in unison and singing to God the wonderful grace that He gave us. And today I want to share with you on the topic called When Life is Unfair. Like, I think what Kenneth and Pastor Kevin said is already summarized what I'm going to say. Basically, we can all actually go home and have lunch. But I probably just want to add a few more words into it. And basically, I want to share with you the topic because life is unfair. And sometimes we wonder, what do we do next? What do we do? But before I start, let me as a person who like to joke around, let me tell you a joke before we get started, and just to lighten it up so that you're more relaxed, and then we can all move on to it. Well, there was a joke. If I offend anyone, I just say sorry and beforehand. There was a man who died, and then he was taken to the place of eternal torment. Obviously, he's not a Christian. He was sent to hell by eternal torment of fire by the devil. As he was led by the devil walking into hell and passing through all these different people suffering, all these sinners suffering, some torture, etc., he recognized there was a guy there he knew. He was a notorious criminal. And he's really bad guys, and apparently he's very difficult to live with, and he noticed him. But instead of being punished, he saw him with a beautiful woman. Instead of suffering, here you are, living in hell with that. So he was wondering, well, he shouted, "Hey, that's unfair." He said, I'm coming here to hell to suffer all this punishment of fire and get roasted. And here you are, this criminal, get to spend a life with eternity with a woman. And the devil pushing him, say, "Shut up!" Jabbing him with the fork that he got. He said, "Who are you to question that woman's punishment?" No, life doesn't always go as planned. And sometimes it's really unfair. And we wonder, you all just probably just like me. And we always go through tough times, and you will ask the questions, why is it me? Why is it unfair? And today I want to share with you two story of two persons. And I hope that this will be an opportunity for us to learn how we should deal with time when it's unfair. And maybe it will challenge us how we should live our life. The first person that you never heard of, some probably have done, in 2012, there was exciting time. There was a sensational things happening over in America. He's an NBA player, American-born Asian Americans. In 2012, in February, he started playing with incredible games, and it became sensations. And they could basically turn, even call, the insanity was. Well, if you haven't heard of it, this guy's name is called Jeremy Lin, okay?
I'm the devil.
He's called Jeremy Lin, okay? And he's basically started off as a bench warmer. If you don't know what a bench warmer means, is if you're playing basketball, you got to be in a team, right? You're in a team, and you all sit on a bench waiting to be called to play. And if you are the one that is a bench warmer, means that basically you're warming up the bench all the time. That means you have little time to play. But over a 10 weeks time, he became a superstar. From a bench warmer to become a superstar. And I got a video here to show you, just to see what happened. This is talking about a time in 2012. Okay, of course, he's still playing now, but the story I want to focus on is just on the February time in 2012. So can you please play the video for me? I'd like to talk about Jeremy Lin, not only because I'm an Asian man. No, but that's beside the point. But he's a humble Christian. And his story during those times is a good lesson for us to all learn. Let me give you a little bit background and then how the story evolved coming into it. Well, Jeremy Lin is born in California, okay, born by a couple of Taiwanese immigrants, okay, and he was living in L.A., raised in a Christian family. He's a devoted evangelical Christian, and when he was in uni in Harvard, actually he was a leader of the Asian American Christian Fellowship. And he's a humble little guy, and in school, his father taught him how to play basketball because his father liked to play basketball. But his father obviously is about my height, probably shorter even. But he's about 6'3". Okay, so his father taught him how to play basketball, and he became really good at it. And in a school which is what is one of the Palo Alto High School, he was actually the captain of the basketball team. And in his final year, the team won the state champion. The state champion. Okay? And he became the player of the year for the state high school kids. I mean, with that credibility, you expect him to go into uni after high school with a what? Scholarship, just like anybody else. And he loved to stay in California, so he tried to apply for Stanford, which is what he is going, or the Golden Gate Warrior, or whatever, that's near where he lives. And guess what? He got no offer. The only place that he can get, that he can guarantee playing basketball, is go all the way from California to New York, to Boston, to Harvard, to study economics. And the guarantee for him to play in the basketball team. If it's you, would you be disappointed? Isn't it unfair? He was the captain, the player of the year, and you thought that he would be drafted to play in the uni with a scholarship. But no, he carried on. So he went to Harvard, studied economics at the same time, playing basketball. Okay? And so he was playing basketball, and obviously in the beginning, obviously he wasn't doing like great, but by the time he got to the final year, he continued to improve. And Harvard, because of him starting to play, the Harvard set numerous program records, holding so many wins. And Lin finished his career in Harvard University the final years as the first player in history of the Ivy League, which is the league that the Harvard University play, to record the record of 1,450 points. More than 1,400 points. On top of that, he graduated from Harvard University with a degree in economics. So, he did the best what we can do in university, in Harvard University. And even the time when he was in the university, that's some coach said that, I've seen a lot of team coming through here, and he could play for any of them. He got great, great composure on the court. He knows how to play. Well, he played well in university. Obviously, the next things you want to go into where? NBA, the biggest game in the world playing basketball. And usually what they do in NBA is they have draft. So whoever come to become good player in uni time, they will come and pick them, see who is a good player, and will pick them. Obviously, if you're good, the player of the year, you expect to be picked, to be drafted. But obviously, Harvard University, people think of Harvard, what do you think of? Do you think of basketball? No. What do you think of? Business. Education. All the things that relate to economics. And it's the last things that people think of. But still, he's the player of the year, basically. You expect to be drafted. Guess what? None been drafted. In 2010, next NBA draft, he got zero offer. And he needed to fight hard to get to be in a team. I mean, obviously, I'm not trying to race. Race is a problem, but it does is a problem. Okay? I mean, there are people who talk about saying that Lin was thin, but I don't doubt that he had a little racial profile because of he's Asian, okay? The intention or otherwise contribute his under-recruitment. There's a player saying that if Lin, there's a coach saying that if Lin was an African American or Caucasian, he might have a different deal. He might have a different deal. I mean, this is all well known. I'm not trying to raise a racial tension or anything. It is to talk about the story. Even Lin said that. He said, I recognize I'm not a top player, but I do think my ethnicity did affect the way coaches recruit me. I think if I were a different race, I would have been treated differently. The world is unfair, isn't it? If you are Lin, stuck in that situation, you got the ability. You know you can improve and be good. But where do I go next? What will you do? What will you do? Will you be mad? How come this world is so unfair? How can it happen to me? How come if I'm different, would it be better? People thought that if you're Asian, the general perspective, say, then you'll be good at math in America. And for coach, people say, oh, he's Asian. He's good at math. He probably can't play basketball. Apparently, one time when he go into a hall that ready to go and play in a tournament, as in the uni, he go to a university tournament and he went and play. Apparently, he go to the hall looking for where to play. He asked one of the guys, say, where's the gym? I'm look for a basketball court. And the guy replies to him, oh, you're Asian. Oh, the orchestra is over the other side of the hall. I mean, ridiculous, isn't it? It's so unfair. And apart from that, obviously all this racial shouting at him, calling him different names, etc., it's hard to bear. But what did Lin say? He does not react to it. He said, I expect it. I'm used to it. It's what it is, said Lin. He considered himself a basketball player more than just an Asian American. And he knows that there's not many Asian American basketball players. He said, maybe I can help break the stereotype. He's still a humble Christian. And he doesn't complain. If it's you and me, what will you do? Strike? Scream at someone? Or beat someone up? Well, anyway, he carried on. The story hasn't ended yet. So in 2010, 2011, he went to work in Golden State Warrior and Houston Rocket. But when he got into the team, obviously, he's a long way up before he allowed to play. A bench warmer, got very little time to play. Little time to play. Always get sent to the D-League. D-League is basically, they send you to say, oh, you need to develop more. So it's called a development league. So that you can learn a bit more, and when you come back, you give you a more chance. He'd been sent three times during that couple of years, but every time he come back, was given very little time. But even though he'd been sent to all this lead and not given time, he hold no grudges. You saw the video. When this is when he became famous. He looked back. He's saying, those two teams, when I was there, I learned so much, and I hold no grudges of it. Isn't that amazing? When life is so unfair, this guy still carry on. Then he get cut. Eventually moved to New York in December 2011. Moved to New York, and with New York Knicks. I don't know. You guys follow basketball? You know the team. He's big in Manhattan, in Madison Gardens. Okay, New York Knicks. But even that, he was there before February. Get very little time to play again. But even though he's like that, every time when he's practice, he come early, the last one to finish, and follow the instruction, do all the things that he's required to do. No complaint. And he's basically the fourth person on this roster to be the point guard. And actually, from his point of view, competing with a whole backup of people who want to line up and play, being a bench warmer, you basically look at who's the next guy in line, and then am I the next guy? If he's injured, if he hurt himself, you need to do something else, I may be the next guy up, and then hopefully you get the play. And he looked at himself, he's saying, I'm probably the 12 to the 15 guys on the roster that is possible. But he continued to practice and be in the development league. In January, he was going to play in the development league and then get recalled back. But at that time, usually what the basketball company do is, just before you're going to sign you in contract, they sell you out so that they won't pay you a big money. Okay? By the time it comes to February, he's almost ready, and he's ready thinking about, oh, are they going to cut me? Am I going to get a job? And that's when you heard the story about he's sleeping with his brother on the couch, not having a real job, and not knowing what to do next. Maybe he's going to play somewhere else in the world. Maybe he get a job that's nothing to do with basketball. That's a desperate time, the lowest point in his life. At the same time, New York Knicks is the worst time for the basketball team too. New York Knicks, they play in the beginning of that season, play 13 games. Guess how many games they win or lost? They only win 2 and lost 11. It's desperate. And miracle happened. The number one point guard injured himself. The next one, BC. Everything's impossible. I mean, look at that, 12 down the road, 15 down the road. And the coach, Antonio, think about it. Well, maybe he got lucky. I need to give him a chance. Because basically, he had no other choice. It's a miracle. He even get chance to play. So on February 4th, 2012, Lin was given a chance. If you're him, like, wow, I'm overwhelming. He go and play. If I'm me, I probably fumble all the time. You know, I got to play. And then fumble. But guess what? He didn't. He seized that moment. He took that opportunity. And he scored. And turned the team around. In that game, they won. A team who lost 11 games out of the 13 they lost suddenly got turned around and became a team who won. And the next game, he got to get chance to play in the first draft. So he got chance to go into play right in the beginning. He scored double digit points. And the miracle didn't just finish with that. You just imagine if you are the fan of New York Knicks, you go and watch your team on February 4th, knowing that your team lost 11 games. You'll be sad. And suddenly this guy came in. Boom! Let's go! And the team won. Isn't it amazing? This is not only just a sensation for the New York Knicks, but a sensation for the whole world. Miracle happens. And Lin take that chance and score. In the next 4 games, his average score was 27 points. And the video you saw, he was playing against Toronto Raptors. They were just equal in 89 points. And he scored just at the last second, 3 points, and won the game. 7 after Lin start playing, for 7 continuous games, he won. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? But amazing thing for me is this guy lived through an unfair time. The time is so unfair. How come he didn't get drafted? How come he didn't get to play? How come he didn't get play? And the question the whole world asking, how can we miss him? How did we miss this guy? From high school onward, all the track record proving him to be a fantastic player. How did we miss him? How unfair it is for him. In another story in the Bible, it's the same. You all know this story in Genesis chapter 39. Joseph. Joseph gone through a lot of unfair difficulties in his life. I mean, he is the favorite son. He's the favorite son loved by his father. The two youngest son of Jacob or Israel. And even brought the father make him a beautiful robe. Remember him? And he even dream about that his brother is going to bow down to him. And not only that, another dream is that even the sun and the moon, like the parents and the brothers are going to bow down to him. He's going to be great. When he was that young, he knows that, oh, I'm going to be great. I'm going to live a fantastic life. But guess what? Because his brother, jealous of him, they were planning to kill him. Eventually, decided to sell him. And he became a slave. In Genesis 39, he starts talking about he got sold as a slave in Egypt. And ended up in one of the officials of the Pharaoh's officials, Potiphar's household. Again, if you are Joseph, will you be like Jeremy Lin? Look at the world. It's unfair. I'm right on the top, like I'm the favorite son, and suddenly become a slave. Did he get angry? No, the story talks about in verses chapter 39, says that the Lord is with him, and he carried on working in the household. And he did so well, God blessed him and blessed the whole household, that Potiphar let him take charge of everything except his wife, of course. It's amazing, isn't it? Even in unfair environment. I mean, if you're a slave, have you guys watched the movie 12 Years a Slave? It's sad, isn't it? Unfair things happen in this world. He's a free man, but somebody sort of grab him and turn him to become a slave. And he would try to find his freedom. If you are Joseph, you would tell the guy, I'm free man, I shouldn't be a slave. You'd be screaming at everybody. But no, he hold on tight. Maybe he figured out a way to become free. But in the meantime, he stick with it. He work hard, knowing that what God knows what to do. But good thing don't last. Potiphar's wife interested in him because he's young. I mean, think about it. Potiphar's wife probably is younger, much younger than Potiphar, okay, in those days. Okay, so he's probably of the same age as Joseph. Don't think differently. But she's interested in him. But what did he do? Well, she wants him to go to bed with him. And he ran away. You all know the story pretty well, isn't it? And he escaped. He ran away from her. One time, she cornered him, and he couldn't get away. And eventually, she grabbed hold of his coat, and he ran away and left with the coat. Oh, that's evidence. I mean, look at it. If you are today's world, if there's opportunity for you to get higher, will you take it? I mean, sure, in this case, it's bad, immoral, that you're dealing with your master's wife. But in today's world, unfortunately, it's become like normal, isn't it? As long as you can do it, the end justify the mean. But guess what? He hold himself to high integrity because he realized that he's accountable to God and accountable to his master. So a bad situation become worse. The wife accused him and he got sent to prison. Unfair, isn't it? And in this case, even worse. But did he do anything wrong? Anything bad? He carried on working for the prison and become in charge of the prisons. And in the prison, there's two guys. One is the baker, one is the cupbearer of the Pharaoh. Something that they did wrong, and they were sent to prison. And they had a dream. And Joseph knows that God gave him a gift that he can interpret dreams. And he interpreted the dream for the two, the person, cupbearer, and also the baker. And eventually, the cupbearer got free according to the dream, and the bakers got killed by the Pharaoh. And he reminds the cupbearer, saying that, when you go back to Pharaoh, tell him that I'm a free man, so that I can be set free. But after 2 years, no news. Until the Pharaoh had a dream that the cupbearer remembered, Joseph can interpret dreams. And cup And then Joseph managed to interpret Pharaoh's dream so well that he even get to become the commander for the country, for Egypt. Well, this is another story in the Bible of Joseph. That a man was put into an unfair situation. And guess what he did? He carried on working. He carried on trust in God. And he know that miracle does happen. And for him, a slave boy, a Hebrew slave boy, become the second in command of the biggest country in the world at that time. So what can we learn from these two stories? Well, I learned three things that I want to share with you, and we can see whether we can learn together. First of all, when life is unfair, Joseph and Jeremy learn to trust in God. In Joseph's story, we learn that the Lord was with him. God was with Joseph. God didn't leave Joseph. That means Joseph knows that he needs God. He trusts in him. I mean, it's quite common that we will, a lot of time when we have an unfair situation, we'll say, we'll get angry, we'll blame other peoples. We even blame God. The world will say, there's no God. If there's a God, where is he? But no, that's not what Jeremy did. He's gone through unfair situations. He remains as a Christian, and he carry on. He trusts in God. And that's what we need to do, is to learn how to trust in God. For Joseph, if you carry on reading chapter 40, he remembered God's promise that God gave him a gift, and the dream that he has will come true. The promise will come true. And he recognized that. If you turn to Genesis chapter 50, let us read it together. This is a time after the famines and etc., when his brother came to Egypt so that he can look after Jacob, his father. And then when the father died and Jacob died, remember, that the brother worried because he, you are Joseph, he's the guy that they betray. They sold him to be slave. He worried that he may punish him. But here in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 to 20, he said, but Joseph said to the brothers, said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. God has a plan, and God is using Joseph to be part of his plan. Even though he was given in an unfair situation, he knows that this is part of God's plan to bring salvation, not only to his parents, to his family, but to the world. When time is tough, when it's unfair, we need to learn to trust in God. We need to learn to trust that God has a plan for us. And in Proverbs 3:5-6, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your way, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I'm not telling you anything new. God has told you long before. But when we face tough situation, do we trust God? Or do we grumble? Do we get angry? Or do we blame somebody? Or even blame God? Or even say, there's no God. If there's a God, how can somebody suffer? How can I suffer? No, we need to learn to trust in God. Next things we need to learn is we need to continue working with integrity. We need to continue working. Because that's what this example, Jeremy Lin and Joseph did. He didn't say, oh, it's unfair. I need a strike. I don't do anything. I stay idle. No, he carried on working. And funny thing is, I find in John chapter 5:17, if you get a chance to look back in John chapter 5:17, in defense, Jesus said to the people complain about Jesus working on Sabbath. Here it's a little bit different context. But Jesus said, my Father is always at his work. This is talk about God my Father. God is always at his work to this very day. And I'm too working. I want to bring this up. It's because a lot of time when we are being treated unfairly, we think that God is not doing anything. God is not there. If there's a God who is creator of this world, he just created and dumped it over there and leave it going. But no, he is saying, God is always working, even to this day. And Jesus says, I'm working too. And the same example, Jeremy told us that we need to continue working. No wonder whether it's great things or small things. We need to continue working. And sometimes you say, oh, I've been supposed to be doing great things. Small things is not important. But I tell you, yeah, the world tells us that size does matter. But actually, no. Even small things are important. Let me explain a little illustration. About 10 years ago, I went to China for a conference. At that time, the uni was growing really big. There's a lot of new university built. Okay, and I arrived in a new city and we wanted to go into a university for conference. And from a distance, before we get to the uni, oh, this is fantastic. The university was so grand, so big. I mean, they were just starting to build more and more university in China. And I thought, wow, China is booming. It's incredible. But guess what? The closer I get, the more detail I find. And you can see the crack in between the tiles, the row of holes, and you got everything does not seem to be finished. Do I think this is a great building anymore? The little details, little small thing, define how great that thing is. And same applies to us. I look at a person, if he's a man of God working, doing pastoring or whatever, if he isn't willing to do small things, he doesn't mean anything to me. Small things is important. There's a saying that serving our great God with his strength in small way is not a stepping stone to greatness. It is greatness. Every little small job is as important as the big job. And every time, we remember coming from New Time and come back here for lunch, church lunch, I always get nothing because I'm always late. As usual, sufferings, unfair. But I'm amazed looking at some of the ladies. I won't name the names just to embarrass them. But some of the ladies willing to wash dishes every time I come in. Small little things. And when I look at that, I think about myself, would I do that? That really demonstrates God is in them. Those ladies willing to wash the dishes, those small things, while I'm preferred to talk to others and enjoy the meal. They're willing to do that. I won't even want to do it at my home. Even though I wash dishes most of the time. That's God's doing. This is great things, not small things. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, very fast. Live such good life among the pagan that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on a day he visits us. Finally, the third thing I learned is miracle does happen. It happened to Jeremy Lin. I mean, it's impossible. A bench warmer, never going to play. And just on the day before he got fired, he got a chance to play in Manhattan Garden. And guess he sees the moment. He takes that moment and build it up and become history. Isn't that a miracle? Even himself in the video said, this is miracle of God. You know what? Miracle does not only happen 4,000 years ago in Joseph's life. It still happens today. It still happens today. And I remember it happened in my life. When I look at it, over 40 years old, coming to Southside International Church to become a youth pastor. That itself, for me, is a miracle. How can that happen? But it does. But in order to make sure you can seize the moment, you need to work no matter great or small. You need to keep working. Prepare yourself so that you'll be ready when God's miracle appears to you. No matter what you're waiting for, a job, a wife, a husband, anything, miracle does happen. And today I want to encourage you, think about it. When life gets to be unfair, trust in God. Because only Him, He can help you. There's a saying that the life is unfair. God is unfair too. You know why God is unfair? God is unfair because how can He love us, the sinner? If He's fair, He will punish us instead of giving us salvation. But guess what? He's unfair, but He's good. That's why we need to trust in God. We need to work. We need to continue working. No wonder big and small. When time is tough, carry on working so that we can be prepared for the miracle that God has prepared for you. And this miracle will happen not only 4,000 years ago, but today. If you are a Christian, I encourage you to think about all this. But even more, if you don't know God yet, this world is unfair. We heard about this story about plane get shot down in Syria, in Iraq. If you look at all these things, you wonder, if you are a non-Christian, what will you do? What will you do? I encourage you to think about it again. Because from today's story, from the two stories, you learn that there is a God. Even though the world is unfair, He is unfair, but He is good. God does not just simply build this world and leave it alone. He's working today. He's working right here today, every minute of this, our life and your life. And He's doing something even greater. Because C.S. Lewis mentioned this one thing. C.S. Lewis called it the grand miracle. He said, by this miracle that passes human comprehension, that no human can understand, the Creator Himself enter His creation, the eternal enter time. God became human in order to die and rise again for the salvation of all people. This is the greatest miracle of all time. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, even though He's God, to become a man. God is unfair. How can He do that to Him? Because He's good. That He wants to bring salvation to all of us. If you don't understand this miracle is happening 2,000 years ago and still happened today, you miss it. Seize this moment. Take this time. Don't give up. Life is unfair. But we can have abundant life if we trust in Him. If we know this miracle and we want to say, Lord, I want to be your son and daughter. I want to hold this moment. I want to take this because this world is unfair. We live in a terrible world. But with that hope of God, we know that we have eternal life. The life is unfair. But with the God we have, we can trust Him. He's working today. And He has a miracle for all of us. And that miracle is bringing salvation for us for eternity. Accept Him. Take Him as your Father. Let's pray. Oh Jesus, we just want to thank You for the wonderful story of Jeremy Lin and Joseph. That even though time is unfair, that we know that God, You love us. You have planned for us. You have promised us. And indeed, the miracle did happen. That Jesus Christ, who is the God who came down on earth to die for us, it's unfair that we get saved. But because You are good, that we have this opportunity. Help us to seize this moment, to enjoy what You have given us, and to share with others so that other people can see in our life that God indeed is living in here. We bring glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.